Well, good morning, Orangewood. Great to see all of you as we kick off a new ministry season. And if you're a guest with us today, so grateful to have you here with us. My name's Tyler. I serve as the lead pastor here. It's great to have you with us. Before we get to the sermon this morning, I've had several people who've been new with us over the last season been asking about, hey, how do I take my next step into membership here? And they've been asking these questions. So wanted to give an update on that. We have a class that we offer. We do one in the fall and one in the spring called Discovering Orangewood. And our next class is going to be a Friday night, September 5th, and Saturday morning, September 6th. And this will be the chance for you to come hear about our mission, our values, what we believe, and this is really part of the process, really this class, and then standing for membership. So if you'd like more information about signing up, you can do that a couple different ways. You can go to orangewood.org/membership, orangewood.org/membership. You can go on the Church Center app right on the homepage. There's a little button there, and you click that, and you can register to let us know that you'll be with us. We'll have dinner Friday night together, breakfast Saturday morning. It's a great time together, and I encourage you, if you've been attending, feeling like Orangewood's become home, this is your next step in making it official that you're part of the family, so we'd love to have you. Today, I'm very excited because we are kicking off a new ministry season, and I've actually been praying about this sermon series for a while that we are going to take part in over the next 3 weeks. The sermon series is called The Way, The Truth, and The Life. And this series, we're really going to be looking at what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus in our day, not just on Sundays, but throughout our normal, ordinary lives. How do we follow Jesus? How do we apprentice our life under his care and leadership as he leads? So our hope is through this series that it is a tangible reminder that there is another kind of life available to us through following him. This life, he called it eternal life, that we can step into now through following him, that we can live our life with him and on into eternity together. We've created a couple of ways for this series for you to kind of stay connected, ways to just kind of take something home with you. So we have in our lobby some prints available to you. These prints you can hang up anywhere that you would like. You can hang it in your kitchen, your office, someplace where you need the reminder that I am called to follow this man Jesus. So please, on your way out, they're free to you. Please take them as a gift to help you through this series. And also on our Church Center app, we have some lock screens. I added mine this morning. We have lock screens of this image and one more image that you can put on the front of your home screen on your phone. So when you grab your phone, the first thing you see is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what we are called to be as followers of Jesus. This morning, I want to invite you, if you're willing, able to stand for the reading of Scripture. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can turn to John chapter 15. Love seeing in the room. Some folks have got their Bibles. John chapter 15. If you're a guest with us today, we stand because we believe these words given to us are inspired by God so that we can know Jesus and experience life with God through him. We'll also have the scripture on the screen behind me as I read. But before we read, I actually have gotten in the habit of doing this for me, but for us. I'd like to pause for just a moment of silence. Just the anxious, overwhelmed parts in us can kind of just rest for a little bit, and we can be reminded of God's presence with us this morning. So just a quick moment of silence this morning. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Father, as we open your scripture this morning through your Holy Spirit, would you allow us to see Jesus, to see his invitation to life, to abide in his love all of our days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, you can follow along as I read. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Well, as we kick off a new ministry year, this sermon series, I'd like to talk with you this morning about something I'm experiencing in my own life, and I long for it in your life as well. We call it the way. Living with Jesus. Living with Jesus. I'd like to start this morning with a story. It's a true story. Whenever I share a story, sometimes people automatically think I'm telling my story. This is not my story. But it involves a couple, and they have just been married and are going on their honeymoon. The groom had been saving for years for this location and this spot for their honeymoon. Perfect sandy beaches, king size bed with a beautiful ocean front view. But when the couple arrived to their room late at night, after a long wedding and hours of travel, they arrived to their room to only find a small sofa bed for them to sleep on. The groom was perplexed and obviously upset. I've saved and spent a lot of money on this room. This is not the room that I requested. He calls down to the front desk. Excuse me, there must be some mix-up. We are in the wrong room. The front desk lady he was sharing with, he asked, is there any other room on the property that you can move us to, a room that I actually paid for? The front desk attendant said, I'm so sorry, we are completely booked. So that night, after a long day of travel and hours and staying in their suitcases. They slept on this awful sofa bed. Completely worst night of sleep ever. Not what you imagined for your honeymoon. He woke up, obviously even more angry and more grumpy, and declared to his new bride, "This is it. I'm going down. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind for their incompetence." So he heads down to the front desk. He gets there. He pounds on the front desk and says, "This is absolutely horrendous what you've done. I've paid for this room. I've prepared many, many months for this room, and this is what you've given us." The receptionist asked, "Please, sir, would you share with us your room number?" He shared their room number, to which point this woman said, "Well, can we go look at the room together?" And so they go up to the room. They walk in. There is the sofa bed right there. And she asked, "Did you go through this door at all?" He said, "No, we got in so late. We did not need the closet for our stuff. We just stayed in our suitcases." To which point, the kind receptionist gently opened the door that led to another room, a room where there was a king-size bed, a beautiful view of the ocean, and then there is a table with a bouquet of flowers and chocolates and a note that says, "Congratulations on your wedding." I think this is a beautiful image, if we will receive it from the Holy Spirit, of our spiritual lives and what John 15 is inviting us into. That for many of us, we have been caught or stuck or experiencing this small sofa bedroom, believing this is it, believing this is all life with God was meant to be. But there's a whole new room through Jesus you're allowed to walk into and to live into. Friends, today Jesus invites you to open that door and to walk in. And here's how he puts it. Here's how you enter that room. He says here, "Abide with me." How do we do that? Well, first, part of what we see in our passage is that living with Jesus is being connected to him. It's not simply checking boxes for him. Living with Jesus is seeing him, as our passage says, as this vine that we abide in. Now, the word "abide" in our passage is a Greek word. It's the word "meno." Can we say that together? Meno, meno. And you may be tempted to think it means small fish, but it doesn't. It means to remain, to dwell, to stay. You could even translate this word "abide," meno, as make your home in. Make your home in. Why do I say that? Because the Greek word for "abide," meno, is a verb. The noun form is the word "mane," where we get our word "mansion." Now, here's something I've found through the years. When I talk about experiencing another kind of life, you don't have to really persuade people very long, do they want to live in a mansion or not? Many people have already dreamed of such things. I remember growing up watching a show called Cribs. Anybody grew up watching Cribs on MTV, right? That dates us, by the way. And what's the show? The whole premise of this show is celebrities meeting you at the door of their crib, which was a mansion, and they would just walk you through room to room, showing you their house. Don't you wish you lived here? But Jesus says to you and me this morning, there is something infinitely better, an infinitely better residence for you to take on in your life. Jesus is saying, the real life you are looking for is in me. Make your home in me. Minnow carries with it this deep sense of intimacy, of closeness. And that's what Jesus is inviting you into. Live in me. Stay connected to me. Follow me. Don't just check the spiritual boxes in your life. Make every day a moment that you can live with me. This is what Jesus says in John 15. I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you as the Father has loved me. So I have loved you. Abide in my love. Notice Jesus calls himself the true vine. This was a staggering claim in the first century because this kind of imagery was used all throughout the Old Testament, the vine, to speak of the people of Israel. Psalm 80, God says, you are my vine I have brought out of Egypt. Isaiah 5 says, God made his people a vineyard that they would bear fruit. And Jesus is making a staggering claim, bringing all of this together in himself. He says, the true people of God are now found connected to me, living with me, following me. He says, don't settle for anything less than me leading your life. Jesus says, I am the way God's life flows now in you. I'm the vine. But if we're honest this morning, we know those parts in us, those places in us where we've put our hope in something else, maybe in an MTV Cribs, maybe in something that we've said, this will give me the life I'm looking for. And what we found is whatever that was, it works until it doesn't. It works until it doesn't. That there's something that we can set our eyes on and give focus to, and we use the spiritual word worship, and it works until it doesn't. And maybe this morning, that's a place you feel. You almost feel stuck in your discipleship and apprenticeship to Jesus. You recognize checking boxes just isn't working anymore. It reminds me of the true story of James Portillo. You may not know James. You may have kind of loosely heard of the story about James. James was an ATM repair technician. So whenever an ATM has issues, he's sent in to take care of the issues. And he came to an issue he had to face. This was in 2017, true story. And he's taking care of whatever issue that they were dealing with the ATM. But in the process of taking care of the ATM, the door to the ATM locked from behind him. And he was stuck inside. He was stuck inside, not in just some room connected to the ATM. He's literally stuck where all the money gets dispensed out. And he is there, and he has left his phone in his car, and the door is locked, and he can't get out. And he can hear the people on the other side showing up and getting their money, and he's thinking, what do I do to get out of here? And so as people began to ask for a certain amount of money, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to write notes on their receipts so that they know I am in here. And sure enough, you can look this up. As somebody was getting their $40 in 20s, their receipt came out, and on the note it says, I am stuck here. Please help. Call my boss. Here is his number. And you know what people did? Nothing. At first, they thought it was a prank. They're like, somebody's pulling our leg. But one person finally took him up on his offer and called his boss. He finally was able to get out of this tiny little place he had been stuck in, and he was released, and he ended up being fine. Just a little dehydrated, a little humiliated, and most likely rethinking his career. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how everything can appear okay on the outside while inside someone is panicking, sending desperate messages, please help, I'm stuck. That's how some of us feel. On the surface, everything looks okay. In fact, for some of us, everything looks great. You're doing the church thing, the job thing, the parenting thing, the friend thing, the relationship thing. You're excelling, you're achieving. People think that you are fine, but inside you know that you are not. Cut off, isolated, stuck, disconnected. And the longer you're disconnected from the vine, the more your soul feels like this man in the ATM. You feel trapped, you feel stuck, you feel, is there any way out of this? Friends, Jesus is inviting you this morning to receive this invitation again in your life. Abide with me. Live with me. Let me lead your life. Become my disciple. Don't just function, don't just check boxes, but find eternal life in me. What does that look like? How do we get really practical this morning? What that looks like, living with Jesus, would mean that in the morning, instead of grabbing your phone first thing, when that's what apparently 90% of us do, instead of grabbing your phone first, you offer a simple prayer. Jesus, let me live connected to you today. It means in your day, when you feel stressed or overwhelmed or anxious or worried, rather than trying harder not to be stressed, overwhelmed, anxious, or worried, but that in that moment you feel it, you name it, and you just offer a simple prayer in that moment, Jesus, I am overwhelmed, and I need you right now to come and help me. This week, where are you checking the boxes of your life? And instead of checking boxes, you hand over the outcomes to Jesus. Jesus invites you to experience the true way in him. He says here, abide in me, live in me, make your home in me. How else do we do that? Second, living with Jesus means growing through pruning, through pruning. Jesus says the Father prunes us. And it's not punishment, it's for a purpose. It's about removing what is it in my life that is keeping me from following him. Here's how Jesus put it, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In ancient Israel, they understood this concept that droughts happen often. And farmers, they learned that for their vines to withstand those awful droughts, that they had to constantly prune their vines so that the vines would go deeper into the soil to be deeper planted to withstand the dry seasons. Friends, growth comes through cutting back. So Jesus is saying, when life cuts you back, it's not punishment, it's preparation. It reminds me of a movie I loved when I saw it, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which apparently is a fan favorite, I found out recently. And if you never saw the movie, it tells the story of Walter Mitty, who works at a job he doesn't like. It's boring. He kind of lives this safe life, connected from others, and he spends most of his time daydreaming about these great things he would experience. But through the movie, there's a crisis that comes up at work, and it causes Walter to leave the comfortable, to leave what he knows. He heads off to Greenland and Afghanistan. He climbs the Himalayas, for goodness sakes. He enters out of everything he possibly can control, every comfort he knows, everything that speaks of safety, and in the process, he is pruned. He experiences a life that truly is life. But I don't know about you, what I've realized in my life is sometimes God begins pruning and he begins cutting back, and it begins to feel like too much. Like, God, this is too much. When we moved into our house here, we bought what would be called a fixer-upper. And that, not just the house, the yard, everything. In fact, we had a tree in our front yard that looked like it had died. It had not been pruned for years. It had not been taken care of. It was not bearing leaves at all. And we moved in, and I was thinking, we're gonna probably need to cut this tree down. But our neighbor came to us, and she said, I would like to prune this tree for you, trim this tree for you. And I think that was her nice way of saying, I don't trust you. And I said to her, that sounds great. I don't know what I'm doing. That would be wonderful. And I thought she was gonna trim the tree. I did not expect her to prune the tree. After she was done, I came home from work and I saw the tree and I thought, that's not a tree. Like, she had cut back everything on this tree. It didn't even look like a tree anymore. When I saw it, I thought, she just killed our tree. But sure enough, over time, through that pruning, the tree began to come alive again and to thrive. And I think that really gets at what we experience in our own life. That when God begins to allow things to come at us, they feel sometimes like they're too much. And it's like, God, I don't think I can live through this. I don't think I can withstand this, but this is not punishment, it's preparation. It's God beginning to take the things out of our lives that are holding us back from life in Him. As we see in this passage, something I actually have never seen before, though I've studied this passage many times. One thing I've found is Jesus nowhere gives preconditions to experience God's abiding presence. In this passage, he nowhere tells us, here are the preconditions for you to experience God's abiding presence in your life. He doesn't mention it. Nowhere does Jesus say, you will experience true life when all your problems are gone, when there is a permanent bull market in the stock market, when you get that promotion, when Bitcoin reaches $1 million, when you make the team, when you get straight A's, when it feels like the winds of life are at your back, that is the only time you will experience God's abiding presence. He never says that. Jesus says the kingdom of God comes in and is available in your life right now. Even in the pruning. Even in the cancer. Even in the addiction. Even in the singleness. Even in the marriage struggles, even when it feels like the winds of life are hitting you right in the face and you don't feel like you can move, even right there in the diagnosis, the kingdom of God can come. God's abiding presence is available if you want to follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. Follow me, be my student, become my apprentice. The kingdom of God will meet you wherever you are. And here's what he says, here's his promise to you this morning. The kingdom of God will meet you right where you are and bring you joy. Now, joy is not happiness. Let's make sure we're saying that. But joy will meet you. How do we know? That's what he says here right at the end, verse 11, is what Jesus says. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Friends, when you're hurting, would you pray, Jesus, help me to see this pruning not as punishment, but for purpose? When pruning comes, don't isolate, but let other people in. If you've been coming to Orangewood for a little bit now and you've been only attending worship, my next steps for you are to get in a community group and to find a place to serve. Get in a community group and find a place to serve. Our next community group lunch is August 24th. Take your next steps here. As we have grown larger as a church, we must get smaller. And so my next step for you, if you haven't gotten a community group, is take that step. Finally this week, identify where is God pruning and how do I allow him in? So as we begin a new ministry season, almost in some ways like a new year, my question to you is, will you make the decision today to follow him? Will you trust that he really is the way? Will you make your home in Jesus? Not just on Sundays, don't just check the box, but throughout your day, will you make your home in him? Will you allow him into your workplace? Will you allow him into your marriage? Will you allow him into your family? Will you allow him into your singleness? All the places that God has put you, will you say, Jesus, will you lead in this place? Will you be my leader in this place? Will you let yourself be pruned by the Father? Will you surrender whatever area of fear or bitterness or control that needs to be let go of to Jesus? Will you let the pain that you might be carrying, will you let the pain that you might be carrying become the soil where his fruit grows? Friends, the door of the kingdom is now open. Jesus has stood there opening the way for you. And he now invites us to follow him, to live our lives with him, to make our home with him. And in that process, we experience life as it was meant to be. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as we begin a new ministry season, this morning maybe somebody here needs to take that step to surrender their life under your care. Maybe today somebody is saying, maybe for the first time, I want to be your disciple, Jesus. I want you to lead my life, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to make our home in you. Today, this week, allow us through the power of the Holy Spirit to surrender our plans and the outcomes of our life to you. Prune what needs pruning in us. Heal what feels broken in us. And send us out in your joy and in your power to bear fruit that lasts for your kingdom. May we live our days with you and in you. In Jesus' resurrected name, we do pray. And everyone said, amen.